Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you for discernment and wisdom, Lord. Thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. And we ask you to open our understanding today. Help us to be observant of the things that are coming. Much deception out there. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. You know what? I want to share with you kind of an update on the arrival of Planet X or Nibiru. There is no doubt that Scripture speaks of this. Absolutely no doubt. But also, I want to say that all of the apparent pictures of Planet X seen by the sun with the naked eye are false. These have happened for many years, and as large as they are compared to the sun, which is huge, it would have come and gone many, many years ago. I'm not saying that it can't be seen by telescope. It can be seen by telescope, and I believe it is being seen by telescope. Okay? And let me just share what I can. This is not going to be easy, I don't think. But anyway, you know, history always repeats, as the Bible clearly says. And sometimes it's in a physical way, and sometimes it's in a spiritual way that it repeats. And as we have shown in the history written by the Egyptians in particular, when they saw the destroyer overhead and described it as a red planet or a dragon, etc., which destroyed them and their army, it was in the spring at the Passover, when God's true people were spared because of the sacrifice of the lamb. I suggest that people eat the lamb like they did, and you'll be preserved. If you do not, it doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian, you won't be preserved. You're not guaranteed to be preserved. Let me put it that way. It's more accurate. In our time, this could repeat in a physical or spiritual spring or both. Spiritual spring could even come in the fall, but it represents resurrection life in the fall of our enemy, like the Egyptians in the Red Sea. This was a baptism. The righteous came up, the wicked went down. The old man drowned in the waters of baptism, according to Paul, and the one that came up and got resurrection life was the people of God. So, one thing we know is that heaven and earth will be shaken violently, according to the scriptures, and many will die, but not those who have eaten the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Do you eat the Word of God? Do you assimilate it into your body? Or are you just passing over it with a once saved, always saved doctrine and not doing anything with it, not bearing the fruit of it? It is the seed of God, according to Matthew 13, and if you don't receive the seed of God, you do not belong to him. And it is the Word of God. The Word declares this shaking has come before, and it will come one more time. And if you are not listening to God's Word, you will not survive. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29 says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." Well, okay. He has spoken. He has spoken in his word. Be sure that you are a disciple of his word and not dead religion. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven. And that is Jesus, the Word of God, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. So it was God who shook the earth before. And he says, once more, he's going to shake heaven and earth, meaning it already happened at least once, right? So now he's saying once more, and this means that it happened before and will only come once more. I'm not saying it won't hang around a while when it comes, because it has done that. It has made more than one circuit of the earth because of obstructions that it ran into, it appears. And this could happen again because of the long time period in the book of Revelation that tells us the effects of this thing are going to last longer than normal. Okay, so you can take that for whatever you think it means. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Well, I'm going to tell you, the elite are going to hide in their underground cities, caves, if you will, but will not survive this Red Sea destruction, because this is going to be an overthrow of kingdoms. Oh, amazing how God can do this in a moment. Verse 28 goes on to say, wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. Offer service well-pleasing to God. That means coming to agreement with His word. For our God is a consuming fire, and He is going to consume the wood, hay, and the stubble. And the gold and the silver and the precious stones will be left, representing God's people who are coming to maturity, right? Haggai also declares this once more shaking of heaven and earth with the overthrow of the throne of kingdoms. And it's on Kislev 24. This, of course, is speaking of a Red Sea where the factious chasers of the deep state government and the factious church will be destroyed as Pharaoh's throne was overthrown under the water. What better way to destroy the elite thrones than to gather them underground when the plates shift and break with the earth tide of the destroyer? You understand, when the moon passes over, there is an earth tide. It actually moves the earth. Well, this thing has, its magnetism is hundreds and hundreds of times stronger than the moon. And, I mean, you remember he called the Red Sea a baptism, you know, a burying unto death, right? Well, here they are. They're going underground to be buried unto death here. The old man. Anyway, let's look at Haggai's text here. Haggai 2, 6 through 10. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, in other words, not immediately, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. That's a big shaking. And I will shake all nations. And this is, of course, all nations of the wicked. And the precious things, things wasn't there in the original, and the precious, or desired, it's sometimes translated. I believe the precious and the desired of all nations is the Lord. That is, all nations of God's people. So things is not in the Hebrew, or desired can be the correct word. And Jesus, by word and spirit, will come in Zerubbabel, meaning born from Babylon, as a type of the first fruits man-child. So the precious of all nations, that is all nations of God's people, shall come. And I will fill this house with glory. The Lord is coming to fill His house with glory. saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, we're going to have a greater kingdom in these days than has ever been on the face of the earth. It's going to be more, it's going to manifest more of God's kingdom than any before. It'll be, the glory shall be greater because the Lord is going to fill the temple, right? Saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. In the place what? In the place where his temple is. There's where there's going to be peace. That means where the Lord abides, whether it's in a person, because the New Testament temple is people. That's going to be a blessing, a blessed place. And what does he say? In the 24th day of the 9th month, which is Kislev 24, in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. Okay. So he's going to tell you what's going to happen at this time. Okay. Let's go on down to Haggai 2, 20 through 23. And the word of the Lord came a second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, that's Kislev 24, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Notice, Zerubbabel is here. He's leading God's people to rebuild the temple, just started, and he gets this revelation about the shaking of the heaven and the earth at this time. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Egypt is a type of the whole world. When Pharaoh and his army went down, let me say, God is going to take down the elite leadership of the world. And this is at a spiritual Red Sea, okay? And I will overthrow the chariots, you see there? And those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, all spoken about the Red Sea, right? Every one by the sword of his brother. This is a new angle, because as you're watching now, even now, they are destroying one another. They are ratting on one another. They are, you know, delivering each other up in the government, and by the way, in the church too. So it is by the sword of the brother, but this is absolutely something that God's people have prayed for, that when they got caught, they start ratting on everybody else and they're doing it because there's no honor among thieves and liars and fornicators. Right? So, verse 23 says, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Who is he chosen? This is the chosen first fruits born from Babylon. That's what his name means, right? And the leadership, the new leadership that God's giving to his people after they exited Babylon. And a signet is a sign of authority, like a ring, like Mordecai's ring, you know, that the King of Kings gave to him. And Joseph, types of the man-child, received this sign of authority from the king. Not only is Zerubbabel a sign in that he's a sign of the man-child, he's also a sign that received this signet or sign of authority. The man-child is going to have great authority. Okay, now I'm going to point this out. There are fall dates for Kislev 24. 24th of Kislev, 5780, equals Sunday, the 22nd of December, 2019. The 24th of Kislev, 5781, equals Thursday, December the 10th, 2020. And the 24th of Kislev, 5782, equals Sunday, the 28th of November, 2021. Okay, you could disagree with that. I'm not really making a point that this is a date to watch for, but we have received revelations of spring coming in the fall. And we've seen the pun there, because it's always with the fall of the wicked. Okay. But you notice these are fall dates. Okay. But also, a date can also be a sign and not a physical date, because of what happened on that date. And we have seen this before in the past. For instance, I picked up this little thing off the internet and made it quick and easy for me. It's from End Times Forecaster. He says, the passage, and he's talking about in Haggai, which we're looking at, also tells us that Kislev 24 was the day of the construction resumed on the second temple. Of course, we know, we've been told, the man-child is coming now to begin the temple of God, rebuilding the temple of God, which Babylon destroyed when it took God's people captive. Spiritually speaking, God's people have been taken captive to Babylon. And they've got their own Babylonish religion, which doesn't even resemble Christianity. So that man-child is coming as a reformer to deliver God's people out of this corruption. And Zerubbabel, the man-child type, was there leading this building of the temple, right? And he goes on to say, in Jewish history on Kislev 24, the Jews attained a great victory. But in the time of the Maccabees, when Syrian ruler Antiochus IV unleashed his great persecution against the Jews of Judea, or Palestine, as they call it, it was on Kislev 24 that the enemy was defeated and the temple freed from its desecration. Wow, there it is again. So God does repeat history. Mm-hmm. And that's why the festival of Hanukkah is celebrated beginning at sundown at the end of Kislev 24. Okay. And here's another Kislev 24 victory. Sunday, December the 9th, 1917, General Allenby leading the British forces. Remember Lawrence of Arabia? Right. Liberated Jerusalem for the first time in centuries from Turkish Muslim rule. The date on the Jewish calendar, you guessed it, Kislev 24. So, now, this is what I want you to see. Both of these Kislev 24s are signs, like that of Pharaoh and his army, who were destroyed in the Red Sea. In these cases, God's people were set free and their temple reclaimed. See, this is what we've been receiving: dreams, revelations from Word, and revelations and visions and dreams, that this is about to happen now. In fact, all of that in the past is pointing to this. Okay. But this time, it's going to be the deep state leaders and the faction in the church that are taken down by the shaking. Okay, this is our Babylon here. And so some researchers have come pretty close to a projected date of Planet X crossing the Earth's orbit. They were close together, relatively. And also, about a year before the crossing event, an earthquake alignment happens. And that date seems to be pretty common in their thinking, too. Those that have astronomy knowledge. I'm going to point out several of these people that have, you know, come up with something that's pretty close, you know. Now, why do I say it's pretty close? It's pretty close because it's very hard to predict a planet that speeds up and slows down as much as this one does every time it gets near another object. It's extremely magnetic, and this causes both speeding up and slowing down, depending upon where it is in relationship to the next planet or the last planet, right? Or the sun. Okay. So here's Terrell Croft's revelation. He and his astronomers have been working on this for years and predicting by the effects of the Earth where the planet is, because obviously it goes behind other planets and loses a lot of its power towards the Earth, and it comes out and so on and so forth. So they are predicting. They have a computer prediction model. Okay. And Terrell said the near side alignment, quake, 5/17/2020. Now, keep that in mind. This is an alignment. This is not the crossing. Now, he's predicting a large quake at that time, 5/17/2020. And it may be more than that, maybe many quakes. And that's about a year before his projected arrival of Planet X, which is speaking about the crossing. His projected crossing event is 5/20/21. 5/20/21. And this near side alignment is almost a year before that of large quakes. Which one of these is the one spoken about in the Bible? I would have to say it's probably the crossing event. That's when it gets really bad. And that's not just a one-time earthquake there. That's from the time this thing comes around the sun and starts pointing in the direction of coming, of crossing the Earth's orbit. From that time on, is got to be terrible. And they say this is the closest one that's ever happened. I don't know that. That's what they're saying. This is the closest one that ever happened. We will see. Hold all this lightly, okay? But it is interesting that their dates are coming together now. Again, his crossing date was 5/20/2021. Now, Dr. Sam, an Israeli astronomer, has some very interesting writings. And I think he, at this particular time, is probably more right than any of them. But we'll see. We'll see. He reveals that the Russian estimate of this crossing is for February the 21st through the 26th of 2021. And that the American estimate is for the first quarter of 2021. So there you are. You're still in the vicinity here. And remember, date differences are due to the greatly variable speed of Nibiru that can't be predicted completely. And that's in relationship to planets and the sun. Okay. So Dr. Sam also states that we are to start a period of 4 months here in December the 23rd, 2019, when the sun blocks earthly telescopes from seeing Planet X. And after this period of 4 months, when X is seen from the Earth again by telescopes, it will be a prime time for earthquakes because there's an alignment here. Now, consider that 4 months from December the 23rd, almost the end of December, forward until once again Planet X can be seen because it clears the sun. And then check Terrell Croft's near side alignment of 5/17/2020. That's interesting. There's some agreement there. Again, both would agree that you can't predict very closely because of the speeding up and slowing down of Nibiru or Planet X. Okay. So, this again agrees with Terrell's alignment of around 5/17/2020. And during this period when it's hidden behind the sun, The satellites are still able to see Planet X, but these are controlled by the government. And so far, nobody in the government, the old government or the new, are deciding to tell us these things. They're hiding these things. I partly understand that. I don't think the whole world needs to go berserk too far ahead of time. But somewhere down the line, this must be revealed so the people can get away from the coast, get to higher ground, etc., etc. Okay. And I have no doubt that this new government could very well do that. I believe President Putin is also in agreement with that. They just aren't in agreement with doing it, revealing it at this particular time. And, of course, they've done everything they could to obstruct the vision of Planet X by telescopes with their chemtrails. So, economies just end up crumbling. People don't start businesses. People don't do a lot of things they would do if they believed that this thing, or if they knew this thing was coming now. Okay, so it does make some sense, but there can come a time when it's too late, right? So also, the coming of Jesus spiritually manifested by word and spirit in the man-child reformer ministries. We've pointed this out for many years now. The Lord has shown it to us. He's shown it in the word. He's shown it in dreams and visions. He's shown it to us. Jesus is not coming the way the carnal church thinks at this time. The way they think he's coming, he doesn't come until the end of the tribulation, as the Bible clearly tells us. But he is coming. His presence is going to be with us. And he's going to be with us, manifested in his people, as he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is none other than the word manifested in his people. Not religion, not apostate religion, which is what we have mostly nowadays, but the word of God manifested in his people. People believing only the word, not adding to it, not taking from it. These are the people that are going to bear fruit. These are going to be the first fruits. And that's what this man-child ministry is. It's the first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits in his day. He was a type of the man-child ministry in his day. He said he was coming again in John 16 as a baby born to a woman. Again. Yes. And this is the spiritual body, a body of people in Revelation chapter 12. So Jesus is coming. He's coming in the reformers, the man-child. He's coming in type in Zerubbabel to rebuild his temple, right? And Zerubbabel was a reformer, leader, a first fruits born from Babylon at the time of Kislev 24. And the shaking, notice, okay? So we're just connecting the dots here. Well, notice here that the presence of the Lord shakes the nations. That's a big one. When he preserves his true people. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Now, I could give you dozens of these, but I wouldn't get to Dr. Sam's teachings here. I want to point out a little bit of what he says. But you can go and look for yourself. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4, Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence. That's his spiritual coming. And when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil, think about the kind of heat that's going to happen when it passes by. To make thy name known to thine adversaries. He's coming to whoop the adversary nations, the adversary people that are persecuting his people. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. Notice there's a trembling at the presence of God. And when thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains quaked at thy presence. For from of old men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. There are people who are awaiting the Lord. And he's going to come and preserve and bless them and destroy the wicked who have persecuted them. In the government and in the church. So at this time, the Lord came and smote the Edomite factions against their brothers. You know, the Edomites, they fought against their brothers. These were the seed of Esau, who fought against Jacob, Israel. They were traitors to their brothers. They were factious. They hated. They fought against them, and so on. We have this. We have this in the government, and we have it in the church. It's happening now. The persecution is happening now. And, of course, when God came to smite the Edomite, he spared his people. He spared Zion, the bride. And there's a guarantee that the Zion, the bride, will be spared. Not a guarantee for the rest of the church to be spared unless they're abiding in Christ, the Word of God. Now, look at the government divided by haters and slanderers of their own brethren. These are traitors. And the church divided by haters and slanderers of their own brethren. Now, God said, I will destroy a slanderer. So these haters are typed as the Edomites in Scripture, who were traitors to their own kin. So let me connect Isaiah 64, 1 through 4 that I just read with Isaiah 62, 11 through 63, 3. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. And it was him. Behold, his reward is with him. That is his reward for his bride in the context. And his recompense before him. That is his recompense against Edomites in the context. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. See, the city was forsaken when they went astray into Babylonish captivity. The influence of the world got into the church, right? Verse 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? That's the sheepfold of the Edomites. This is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? And he says, I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiments. And let me tell you, this is an earth-wide, a worldwide thing. So, the earth trembles when the Lord comes to judge Edom and preserve his people. Jeremiah 49:7-8. Of Edom, says the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? We call them the stupid demons. Yes, this is them. In the government, notice how stupid they are. They're cutting their own throat. The House of Representatives is cutting their own throat. They will lose this vote. And in the church, same thing. Stupid demons. Exactly what he said happened to the Edomites is happening to them. Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitant of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him. That's the Edomites. the time that I shall visit him. So here he comes to save his people and visit the Edomites. 17 through 18. And Edom shall become an astonishment, even one that passeth by it. Everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, says the Lord. No man shall dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn therein. The deep state is going to be squashed. And the faction in the church squashed by the Lord. 20 through 22. Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. There it is, the fall. There is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea. What's this got to do with the Red Sea? Except God constantly parallels the Red Sea to Babylon, to the fall of Edomites. He compares it to what happened at the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. Bozrah means sheepfold. It's the sheepfold of Edom. And the heart of the mighty men of Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Jeremiah 15:46 says, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, which is this deep state entity in America, the earth trembleth. When Babylon is conquered by Cyrus, he uses that as a parallel. Trump is Cyrus, and the earth is going to tremble. They're being conquered all the time, but there is an ultimate Red Sea reckoning coming. And the cry is heard where? Among the nations. At that time, the nations are going to suffer. Okay, so let me go. I want to go to Dr. Sam's revelations here. I want to share something first from Planet X European Southern Observatory in Chile. They said the search for Planet X began centuries ago when astronomers detected orbital perturbations in the outer planets Uranus and Neptune. Their orbits are skewed towards constellation of Orion, causing astronomers to believe that the orbits of these two planets are being pulled by a large gravitational body. The sun's binary companion, the United States calls it Nemesis, this binary companion, this dead star, is thought to exist ever since the first launch of the early Pioneer 10 and 11 spacecrafts, which detected the sun's binary dead twin, a failed star around 50 billion miles away from the known solar system. Another object that was detected by Pioneer spacecrafts and later by IRAS satellite in 1983 was around 4.7 billion miles away, a huge red gaseous object in a highly elliptical orbit too close to the solar system that it had to be part of it. It was suggested by the scientists. This celestial body was found in the same direction as the binary companion of the sun, the dead star Nemesis. And soon thereafter, actually Planet X is the furthermost planet in the Nemesis star system. And that's why it swings so close to the Earth, right? Soon thereafter, media pointed out that it was a mistake, that no celestial body was found. Okay, of course. And that's why Robert Harrington lost his life, is because he was going to prove this and spoke it, and they killed him. So this, and he was the head of NASA, right? This object at the distance of 4.7 billion miles is also known as the dwarf star or Planet X in modern science. Ancient Sumerians called it Nibiru. And in ancient Egyptian civilization, it was known as the destroyer star. Orbit of this Planet X is thought to be around 3,600 years passing through the known solar system. A picture taken and leaked by the South Pole Telescope in 2007 gave out coordinates in the sky for this huge object headed towards the solar system. Google Sky has the image cropped out at those exact coordinates. You've probably all seen this. There's a black space of nothingness there where the coordinates were. These coordinates happen to be at the middle of the western edge of the constellation Orion. Originally, the 1983 article by Washington Post pointed out that the mystery heavenly body was located on the western side of the constellation Orion. Now, I'm going to skip over. I'm skipping down through here, okay? Only when we bring in this scenario of our sun having a binary companion and a 10th planet, Nibiru, Planet X, I know this confused all that on purpose, but which orbits between them, is when all geological mysteries of the cyclical events of the past fit in nicely, and answers to why multiple civilizations around the globe were destroyed at the exact same time. And it now comes to light what was the cause of this, right? The heating up and cooling down of the Earth very fast at certain intervals in geological terms in a clockwise fashion, for which scientists didn't have an adequate explanation. And now it starts to make sense. That's right, the passing of destroyer, right? And then Dr. Sam goes through a very good teaching on why Nibiru cannot be seen or be visible until a certain point. Other people have made this. I'm not going to go through this, but you can read this. I'm going to put it, I'll leave it here so for you to read it. So here's another lecture by Dr. Sam on 9/25/19. In the name of God, the merciful, in accord with our monitoring of the movement of the planet comet in the last months, where we can monitor it before it disappears behind the sun in relation to the Earth. And from here on, he's going to use the word occlusion, which means to obstruct or conceal. Okay, and of course the sun obstructs and conceals the planet. Okay. The astronomical situation in general is as follows. The direction of the virtual movement of this month is going to the right, and apparently it will be associated with the planet Saturn during the first third of this month, and will be slightly lower than Saturn by a small percentage. This association, as we said, is virtual and not orbital, but its orbital position is still in the vast confined region between the orbits of Saturn and Jupiter. I expect observers to pay attention to this region because this object will be heading to the right of Saturn, apparently, and turn to the left from the beginning of next month, which is October. That was in October of 2019. Due to the movement of the Earth around the sun to associate again with Saturn during the month of November. And so we can, through this reminder, follow its movement with accuracy. And this requires a clear atmosphere and use of adequate caliber telescope, and greatly and preferentially to be enhanced by infrared, because the surface of the target is relatively cold and covered with a thick charged dust. Skipping on down, and he goes into why we can't see it clearly at this time, and when exactly can we see it clearly. Okay, you can see it with a telescope before its occlusion, which means to obstruct or conceal. He uses the word occlusion. It's obstructed or concealed by the sun for 4 months starting, I believe he said, December the 23rd of this year. Okay, so I'm skipping on down. There's a lot here you can read. I'll just give it to you for, you may see things I don't see, you know. Here's Dr. Sam with a lecture on 10/23/2019. He says, in the name of God the Merciful, there only remains 2 months from now until we reach the 4 months of occultation, which means it's 12/23/19. And the definition of occultation is the state of being hidden from view or lost to notice. The interruption of the light from a celestial body by the intervention of a celestial body, especially an eclipse of a star or planet by the moon, or it can happen by the sun, right? So he's talking about we're coming to this 4 months of occultation on 12/23/19, in which you will not be able to see it from telescopes on the Earth. Okay. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. Skipping on down, he says, at the beginning of this year, 2019, the periodic situation was the same and the cause of many distortions and deformation in the magnetic field of the Earth, which was being caused, according to him, by Planet X now. And the rate is repeated from 1 to 3 times per day during the month of January. Will it be that this month will lead us to the occurrence of real collapses by which we know the arrival date? So collapses, of course, in the magnetic field is the force field that protects the Earth from flying objects, you know, which we're going to get closer and closer to as closer to Planet X and we go through its tail and so on and so forth. Okay. So he's talking about that this pattern that is happening is leading to a collapse of this magnetic field. And that we will know when this happens, the arrival date. Okay. Skipping on down. And how will be our monitoring of the occlusal data under this programmed blockage during the next year, which is considered essential for the validation of the Russian estimate or not? And to worsen the situation, there is a notice that the satellite Van R. Allen, specializing in monitoring the electromagnetic field of the Earth, was suspended a few days ago. Suspended. Now, why would they do that? Because there's something out there that's causing this, and they don't want us to think about that. He goes on to say, under the pretext of time limit of validity of it. Yeah. So they got their fake reasons for not letting us see, right? And in fact, the data of the electromagnetic migration of the poles are turned off. If we do not find alternative links, we are facing a big problem. And the lack of such data signifies that we do not know exactly what is happening with the magnetic field of the Earth. And if we wait for the mega Richter earthquakes, and if their real magnitude is manipulated and altered, this also will be another problem. Gentlemen, the principal objective of the principal space agencies is to hide the truth from the entire world, and they do not economize efforts for this. The lines of communication will be cut. If they could close the sky in front of us, they would. Well, they're doing a pretty good job, I think. Yeah, they've been doing it for years, especially as we are on the brink of the arrival. Okay, I'm jumping on down just a little bit here. While there is a block, it is because date of arrival is approaching. The people will not feel the danger until the earthquakes spread in our direction. And after a time, there will be panic in all places because all will come. And what was far from us has become before us. Okay, I'm going on down. A summary, Nibiru is a comet planet that was first identified by the Chilean astronomer Carlos Muñoz Ferrada from deformation of the orbits of the outer planets. It is heavy, containing lots of iron. It is a cool body, not exceeding 40 degrees Celsius, absorbs the light of the sun, so not very visible. It will gain the heat necessary to become visible only after passing the orbit of Jupiter next year. Let's see, when was this written? Give me just a second here. I got to back up. So visibility is expected sometime in the third trimester of 2020, September to December. Its speed is variable, so with the intentional blocking of data in place, it is almost impossible to know its exact date of arrival. The Russian estimate is for February the 21st through the 26th, 2021. The American estimate is for the first quarter of 2021. Its size is about 7 times greater than the size of the Earth, which is, let me say, minuscule when next to the sun. So when you're looking at these big planets out there next to the sun, that's not it. If it was it, you'd be destroyed at that moment. That's not it. Okay. So its size is about 7 times greater than the size of the Earth, a real magnet with a magnetic field extending for 47 AU in space. That's a giant of a magnet, or 200 times greater than the magnetic field of the Earth. Its north pole approximates the north pole of the Earth. And so it is that we who experience the pole shift, not the Nibiru. Nibiru also rotates clockwise against the rotation of the Earth and against the rotation of the sun. And most of the planets in the solar system, with the exception of Venus. But its speed is variable, suffering from lack of data. Dr. Sam, a very honest person, is unwilling to stress any estimated date of arrival. Yes, but we've noticed in here that there is an area of a few months that people are speaking about. Right? This approach will be its closest approach to Earth ever. Closer than the orbit of Venus, it will pass about 14 million kilometers from us. This is the Chilean astronomer's estimate and also the Russian's estimate. The month of the year of 2020, that Nibiru will shine strongly in the night sky. And this is Dr. Sam. And let's see. He gives a lecture on 11/6/2019. Let's see, maybe I'll share just a tiny bit of this. Talking about the magnetic field of the Earth, he says, so from where we came, these grave distortions. If this object was a thermal object, we would feel its high temperature on the Earth. But it is a giant magnet with strong force of field that causes defects in the field of any object that comes near it. So this is what's happening to Earth's magnetic field. Actually, I saw, was it last year or the year before, that it actually reversed. Amazingly, nobody said, what could cause this? Well, we're looking at it. This is what we're talking about. And this in itself causes a total disequilibrium, and as is happening now on the Earth. Obviously, no one will be able to disagree with this data except to recognize that this intruder is approaching more than ever. I expect in the next couple of months that instances of distortions, that is, semi-collapses, will develop into cases of total collapse in the field of the Earth. Even if the Earth is moving away, even though the Earth is on the other side of the sun, to it, I think he says something about January here, but it might be not got translated. But this guest will not let the earth escape from its claws. And when the collapses happen, three within a week, and continuously without pause, the mega Richter earthquakes hit the earth. And we can say that it exceeded the orbit of Jupiter to initiate the countdown. Okay. Let me see. I'm going down a little bit more here. Achieving the two concomitant conditions indicates the entry of the comet planet, the orbit of Jupiter. But as the acceleration of it is variable, then it will need from 6 to 14 months to arrive. Okay, again, we're getting close to those dates that we spoke about in the beginning. In the form very simplified, if the maximum approach of Nibiru to Earth, in accord with the data bank, Usuryask, which is a Russian, of February 20th to 26th of 2021, we will see this red comet a year from now. From the southwest for the northern section of the Earth. I repeat again, if there do not occur successive collapses and earthquakes, the year of arrival will be delayed a little. Okay, let's see. And from now is 11/17/2019 when he said that. Oh. Okay. Here's Dr. Sam. Nibiru seen between the moon and Saturn at the sunset on 11/30/2019. This is not a close-up, obviously. It's just that you can see between them, you know. This is a very honest and open lecture by Israeli astronomer Dr. Sam. We are nearing the month of occultation, which is, again, the interruption of the light from a celestial body by the intervention of another celestial body, like the sun coming in between. And we'll have the earth tremble under our feet before we see the Nibiru in our sky. Yes, before you see it in our sky, there will be great earthquakes. And when we pass through the tail of this thing, obviously it's got a tail that takes the earth, I think, if I remember, an hour to go through, that is full of every kind of meteorite and whatever, asteroids and whatever. So the earth is going to get plastered really good, especially if its magnetic field is down, which it would be at that time. So with a magnetic field of 47 AU, why not? Also, after January of this coming year, we will be on an approach situation with the Nibiru, not a moving away situation as is now, with the Earth moving to hide itself behind the sun. Okay. Well, I'm running out of time. So I will just leave you to read the rest of this and make up your own mind. Sorry about that. Talked about Western scientists going crazy, blaming it on everything but what the real truth is, and they know it. So, Father, we ask you to continue to bring people with understanding, to show us what's going on. We thank you so much for your mercy towards us, Lord, and that we're getting prepared for this thing too. And you've been giving us dreams and visions all along concerning this, and we thank you for that direction, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Also, Father, we ask you to bless Michael Hare as he comes and shares with the brethren, and may all be listening intently and growing in the Word, because the Word is what's going to cause our Passover. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, saints. God bless you.